Well, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, apparently designed to prevent it joining NATO, could end up in the expansion and strengthening of the alliance. Finland, which shares a 1,300-kilometre border with Russia, will formally apply for membership of NATO next week, according to newspaper reports in Finland over the weekend. Following the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the government in Helsinki accelerated plans for NATO membership, reversing the country's long-standing policy of military non-alignment. We're joined by the Finnish ambassador to Ireland, Riley Lanalampi, who last week described previous debates here on our neutrality as full of wrong notions and false assumptions over the idea of a European army. A very good afternoon to you, Ambassador, and welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Brian. Delighted to be here.
Well, now we'll come to your comments about Ireland in just a moment, but first of all, what's been happening in terms of the debate in Finland in relation to its, as I said, traditional policy of non-alignment? That, if reports are to be believed, is about to change.
I think what is happening in Ireland and in Finland is that the Russian invasion has totally changed the security environment in Europe. Not only for Finland, but also for all other European countries and also globally, given that Russia is not at all respecting international law or rules-based system. In Finland, we have had this, what we have called NATO option, which means that we have said for many years now that we retain the right to decide our own security decisions, including joining and military alliances like NATO, if we so decide, and if realities amongst our European scene or in the Nordic scene change. And the people in Finland now, including also politicians, are looking at the situation, and it seems at the moment that the majority of the people, 65% in Finland, think that it's time to change our security policies and join NATO. And now the parliament and our president and the whole political leadership will have to decide formally whether this will go ahead. But according to polls and according to questions in the parliament, this seems to be the way.
Now, Finland already has a substantial military force. I mean, I think you already meet at least the 2%, isn't that right, criteria of government spending on and exceeded by some measure. So what, from Finland's point of view, is the advantage, is the gain by joining NATO?
Brian, it's very right that in Finland, although we have been a non-allied, militarily non-allied country and are still at the moment, we always emphasize that we need to have a credible national defense, given our history and our geography. I think at the moment, and also previously, what is included in the membership of NATO is the collective defense. That we would be part of a group of like-minded nations, Western democracies, that if in case there is an aggression against one, would have the collective defense from others. So that seems quite logical.
So, given all that, what do you say about the debate and the debates that we've had here about Irish neutrality?
Brian, I also wanted to, because you started with a quotation that was a headline in one of the newspapers. I think today, when we celebrate the Freedom of Press Day, it's very important to also to read the small print mm-hmm. and the whole articles, and I'm sure you will do so yourself. And my main message is and has been all the time that in a world where there's a lot of false news and hybrid influencing and information influencing, it's very important to share information. And for countries such as Finland and Ireland that are actually this year celebrating 60 years of diplomatic relations, so like-minded countries, very export-driven, relying on rules-based systems, I think our systems are important. Are depending on people knowing what the facts are. And In that article, for example, I was just comparing discussions in Finland and in Ireland when it relates to the EU.
Yeah, well, I can since you mentioned there was the journal.ie and the quote, and I give it, you're right, we should give it in full. You told them, according to their report, I think it's a totally wrong notion that has also been discussed here during some of the referendums, and in Finland, people refer to the EU army. I mean, there is no EU army. You said there's not even a NATO army. Every country has their own army. So I suppose you're saying there needs to be some clarity around these debates.
What I was kind of saying that there are in debates like what we are having now and had that time, there are different opinions and then there are facts, I would say. And of course, within the EU, there are also member countries and some politicians that would like to have an EU army long time ago. But the fact is that as far as we know, you know, and I know, there is no EU army at the moment. So I was just trying to make the point that in today's world, it's very important that people have media literacy and that they can kind of make the distinctions between opinions and facts. And what I was emphasizing was that, for example, for Ireland, nobody would even try to force you to enter an EU army when there is not even an EU army. So that was just the point. If I may, Brian.
Yes, finally, if you can.
Yes. Just to say that I think the big picture here is that for countries such as Finland and Ireland that are so like-minded and smaller EU members, it's very important that we keep in mind the big picture that in terms of European security, the situation has changed. And what we are doing with Finland and Ireland in terms of our cooperation, we are trying very much to see where we can cooperate between on cyber security, on hybrid security. And I think it's very important that we kind of speak openly about that in here and in Finland.
All right. Well, we're glad to have an opportunity to do that to some extent today. And thank you indeed for talking to us. That's the Finnish
Ambassador
to Ireland, Riley Lana Lampi. We'll have more.